It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Andy Levine, American Seed Trade Association. First off, Jonathan Huseman's with Stockman's Beef Packing in Central Texas. Differentiate Stockman's with others.
We purchase a plot of land away from many neighbors, residential neighbors, certainly not many. And we really want to be able to improve sustainability, eliminate waste, and reduce our environmental impact in as many ways as are financially feasible. You just can't get anything done otherwise, but just are the right thing to do. So we're contemplating on-site solar energy, conversion of animal waste that's not suitable for any other purpose into biofuel. And once the plant is up and running and stabilized, then things like organic pet food, organic fertilizer, so on and so forth. Really trying to reduce our waste to zero.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Andy Levine. Andy is president and CEO of the American Seed Trade Association. Also, we commonly refer to them as ASTA. And Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be with you again.
Well, interesting time as we talk right now, and we'll come back to what's happening here kind of at home, if you will. But there is global unrest right now, and sometimes we don't think of agriculture's role in that, but there is a role, isn't there?
There really is, Tony. And when you look at the unrest in Eastern Europe and Russia's aggression into Ukraine, it really causes quite a severe stress on the agriculture community globally. Obviously, it impacts those farmers in Ukraine. But the Ukraine is really a breadbasket for the world in wheat production and some maize production that's principally used in Europe. And if you even think about it, coming down to some of our companies, multiply seed in the Ukraine for distribution in Europe and globally. So that impact on that region is pretty severe, and we feel for the people that are there and the challenges that they have and will have going into the spring and summer and into the future. But they're in the same situation as our folks in the Midwest right now with respect to looking at wanting to plant. You're waiting for things to warm up a little bit, and just think of the other issues that they have in front of them, trying to see whether they're even going to be able to plant a crop this year, let alone try to have a living.
As we, I guess, kind of continue this train of thought, one headline might be, there won't be seed for the upcoming season to plant. And obviously that headline would be false here, but how do we kind of frame all this up to how it affects what we're getting ready for when it's the spring planting season? Is there a direct effect for us this year, or is it something that we need to be watching for down the road if that's an area where we're multiplying seed?
Yeah, I don't see a direct effect here in the U.S. We've got, the beauty of it, Tony, is that we produce most of the seed, especially for the Midwest and corn and soybeans and wheat and cotton, right near where it's going to be planted the following season. So most of our seed availability in the U.S. will be here. The question is, what will the conflict do to global production when we already have tight stocks globally? And it will impact especially developing countries around the world, and what will that impact have on, just the political and economic lay of the land for those developing countries and their ability to acquire wheat that they need. The U.S. industry, agriculture industry, is working very closely with their member companies to see what they can do to help out the region recover as quickly as possible. We have many companies that have employees there that are first and foremost worried about their employees and their safety and their health and their families. But then secondarily, where do they have supply that they may be able to move in there quickly when the opportunity arises? So that's really what we're looking at. That global impact on just food security is huge, and this is going to strain that even further when we already look at a tight commodity market on a global basis. So that's where I think we're going to see it. It'll put some pressure on pricing here in the U.S. There's just no doubt about it because things will be so tight.
We often think of spring as planting time, and we refer to our spring planted crops. You mentioned the Midwest. Many are trying to get ready to set that seed in the ground. We actually have seed in the ground already in South Texas. So we know that planters are ready to start rolling. What are some things we need to keep in mind when it comes to stewardship on our seed?
Yeah, Tony, when we look at it, this is that special time of the year when farmers have that opportunity to plant the seed and prepare for that next crop and harvest in the fall. And it is that time of optimism and everything. The unique weather we've had this year makes it doubly challenging for farmers to determine when's the best time to go in the ground. I think just last weekend we had places in the Midwest and upper Midwest that had snow again. So your soils are still cool, and we're all waiting with bated breath for them to warm up. But probably the key thing that we look at this time of year is just that treated seed stewardship. You know, how are you making sure that if you're using a grain bin or a wagon to move your seed to your planter, how do you make sure that's cleaned out? How are you making sure that if any seed is spilled when you're transferring into your planter boxes, that that's cleaned up as well or buried so that there's no potential environmental impacts there? It's just that wise use of those treated seeds so we can continue to use that technology in the future to protect the genetics and ensure that the farmers are getting a good stand every year in the crops.
Well, and this comes at the same time that Congress is starting the process of looking at a new farm bill. The existing farm bill set to expire next year. So hearing starting to tee up on this. What are you watching on the farm bill discussions?
Well, Tony, the first and foremost issue that we look at is what's the budget going to look like for the farm bill as it's developed. We're obviously looking at a farm bill when commodity prices are in more favorable for the farmer, but also costs are a challenge and input costs, whether we're talking about fuel or fertilizer or other products. So all of those factors come into play in this, but the most interesting one that will be a key part of this farm bill is going to be where does sustainability and the environment and carbon capture play in this. It's been such a hot topic for Congress and for the economy for the last 4 or 5 years, and this is that opportunity to incorporate parts of sustainability practices into the farm bill and give incentives to farmers to employ more and more of these to benefit the soil, benefit our environment, water, all of those factors, and keep that soil and then where it needs to be in that field.
You know, there are some concerns as well based upon, you mentioned, you know, what kind of funding will we have? What will that budget amount be as we continue to push our debt higher and higher? At some point, that farm bill's going to have fewer dollars than it had the year before. Is that a concern moving forward as well?
You know, that is a concern, Tony. Historically, with farm bills, as we've seen them, you write them when you in a period where you have pretty good optimism, pretty good commodity prices, and so things look rosy. But then by the time you get halfway into the farm bill, the market's turned, and so you don't quite have that same support, or vice versa. You start out with a market where the prices are low and you write the farm bill to address those issues, and then it turns around halfway through the farm bill. So you have to be careful on that. You have to provide that umbrella for the farmers in case there are those situations that cause financial distress. But you also have to look at it from that opportunity of markets changing and farmers being able to take advantage of what's out there. You know, we always look at it from the standpoint of how much of the farm bill is actually the feeding programs and women and infant and children or WIC programs or food stamp programs. It's a significant part of that farm bill. But if we think about it, the agriculture part of the farm bill is what gets the food on our plates or gets the food into the grocery store. So you got to have a healthy part of both of those, and we do need to help aid those that are less fortunate to us. So it is a delicate balance, and they are going to be looking at how much money do we have and how much can we spend and need to spend, and that's going to be a balancing act going forward.
Okay, Andy, couple of minutes left. What if there was an event that could prepare us for what lies ahead and help us to be prepared to be leaders? I just wonder if ASTA has anything that might help. In other words, I'm teeing you up for something in Indianapolis in June.
Yeah, Tony, we look at this as we come out of COVID and we look at the availability of talent, employees out in the marketplace today for our industry and others. It really is an opportunity for ASTA to take a leadership role in the issue of assisting the SEEK industry about where opportunities are for people to come into our industry, and then how do we help cultivate that leadership. And so our 2022 Leadership Summit is this June in Indianapolis, and it really will focus on career development, how do you manage, how do you grow your management skills, and how do you really become a leader in this industry. But also looking at what are those global aspects that impact us, what are the national impact issues that impact the seed industry, and what are your local ones, and try to broaden everyone's horizon to see those issues that are important to decision making long term. So we're excited about the program that we're pulling together. It really will be first of a kind for us, and it's the new trend that we're looking at is how do we make sure that we're preparing the leaders for the seed industry in the agriculture community in the future.
Well, you can learn more online at betterseed.org. That's betterseed.org. Hey, Andy, great to visit with you. Will you come back and see us here down the road?
Tony, I'd really love to. I enjoy talking to you every month, all the time, and especially enjoy talking with your listeners.
Andy Levine is president and CEO of the American Seed Trade Association. Again, online, betterseed.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Market opportunities, input costs, and drought will all be discussed at the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th. Get your tickets now. Seating is limited for this powerful event, including special keynote speaker, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Call 806-323-9114. That's 806-323-9114 to reserve your seats today. Seating is limited.
It's simple. You want better, more nutritious feed? Start with a better, more impressive baler. Introducing the new Massey Ferguson 4100V RB series of silage balers. They're the kind of rugged, hard-working machines you can count on to handle everything your operation demands season after season. Work faster in more conditions on more crop types. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Recent outbreaks of highly pathogenic avian influenza within the U.S. layer flock, adding strain to beleaguered egg supply chains, which have not fully recovered from disruption brought on by the pandemic. That's according to Cobank, that says while egg production has stabilized in recent months, it's still well below pre-pandemic levels, and egg availability could be limited leading into Easter, again, according to Cobank. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Andy Levine with the American Seed Trade Association online, betterseed.org.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
It's simple. You want better, more nutritious feed? Start with a better, more impressive baler. Introducing the new Massey Ferguson 4100V RB series of silage balers. They're the kind of rugged, hard-working machines you can count on to handle everything your operation demands season after season. Work faster in more conditions on more crop types. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Supporting university-level research to treat and eradicate livestock diseases.
We announced an investment of over $13 million in research that really explores some of these novel therapies and prevention strategies for animal diseases that are really costing the agricultural industry billions of dollars worldwide.
National Institute of Food and Agriculture Administrator Carrie Castile says 24 grants under the Agriculture and Food Research Initiative will support projects at 17 universities focused on disease prevention, vaccine development, and management strategies to maintain ag animal health. One example of such projects is found at Cornell University.
Cornell research will develop more effective vaccines for swine influenza virus to the tune of almost $650,000. Very fortunate that we have the partners that are really leaning in and committing with us to be able to address these challenges.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.